Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Mosaic of Love radio show, where everything love-related will be discussed and you have the opportunity to learn more about all the aspects of love. I am Laura Harju, a love coach and your guide on your journey towards your true love. You can find me at lovecoachlauraharju.com, and I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/lovecoachlauraharju, and I would really love to hear from you. If you want to call into the show and participate, you can do that from USA by calling to number 646-716-7979. And if you want to make a comment or ask questions, press 1. And outside from US, please join via sending me a message on Facebook. So today, I have the honor to have as my guest healthy relationship coach Catherine Dietz. Catherine is the owner and operator of A Healthy Path to Love and an expert in coaching women who are questioning their romantic relationship. She is the creator of the Healthy Path Process, a step-by-step program designed to help women transform unhealthy relationship patterns and gain the clarity and courage they need to put an end to the confusion of should I stay or should I go, and move forward in their lives with integrity, honesty, and respect. As a certified Heal Your Life coach and former cardiovascular technologist, she also shares her extensive knowledge on the emotions and physiology of the heart and how our feelings play a huge role in the quality of our lives and relationships. She believes romantic relationships are one of our greatest teachers and give us endless opportunities to stay true ourselves and in alignment with our inner spirit. And this is certainly something that we have all experienced. So thank you so much, Catherine, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be here.
Excellent. So we will be talking about why so many women struggle with the question of should I stay or should I go in their romantic relationships, and how to make a choice about this painful predicament with honesty, integrity, and respect. So I can totally relate. This was the question that I was struggling with when we were growing apart with my first true love. And from outside, I was always hearing like how beautiful couple you are and you are a perfect match. And yeah, you are my role model for a perfect relationship. And I knew that it was just a cover, that we, neither of us was really truly happy in that relationship. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to what the wisdom is that Catherine is going to share with us.
Thank you. And I think that's really common. I like the way that you shared that. It's really common for people to see things a certain way from the outside, but what's really going on in the inside or behind closed doors, as they say, is often very, very different. So yeah, I like the way that you describe that. And I think most women have at some point in their lives related to that feeling and that confusion of should I stay or should I go. No one ever really expects or anticipates that when they fall in love that there's going to be a day where they're thinking, am I with the right person anymore? So it's hard. It's really hard to come upon that.
Absolutely. Yeah, because when I found my first true love, so it was, we were perfect to each other at that point. But
yes,
then, of course, we evolved and, yeah, we weren't a perfect match anymore.
Right.
But what's your take in this, why a relationship that started out so great to be the true love and everything that we have ever imagined and take the turn for the worse? So what is your experience about this?
Yes, I'll be happy to share that. And actually, the way that you just shared that is one of the examples. You know, when you first started out in your relationship, it was great. It was perfect. He's probably exactly what you needed. But then you change over time sometimes, and especially women who get married or committed in their 20s, that's really young. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we feel like we know who we are and what we want and what we need. And this person is awesome. And I want to spend the rest of my life with them. But we do change. We do change. And especially in our 30s and 40s, we really start to step into our own. So that's one of the reasons that happens, is I think within that relationship, if you're together for a long time, if one person is changing in a certain direction and the other person is not necessarily changing with them, that can create a lot of differences. And what was important to you in the beginning, and this I experienced this too, my last person that I was engaged in a long-term relationship with, in the beginning, he was exactly what I needed. And it was perfect, but I was going through so much growth and inner discovery and career change and all the stuff that within that 8-year period of our being together, toward the end of that, I was much, much different. And what I needed wasn't there. And what my priorities were in the beginning had changed. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that either person is wrong or you're mistreating each other or anything like that, but you just kind of start going in different directions. And sometimes couples can absolutely make that work to their advantage. Even though they're going in different directions, they can still find a way to connect. But if you can't find a way to connect, to me, that's really what it all comes down to in a simplified explanation. If you can't find a way to connect and truly feel in each other's lives in some capacity, then yeah, that distance is going to grow. So I think that's one of the reasons. And then another reason I think maybe even more common is just the communication breakdown. You know, what starts out in the beginning is fun and discovery and easy, and I just love this person in my life, and then kind of starts to fall into habits, and maybe you move in together or get married and kind of get into your routine, and then you forget that you're a priority or the other person is a priority, and you kind of let things go to the back burner on a regular basis. And that all comes back to that connection. Couples really need to continue to make each other a priority. Just because you're committed or in a marriage doesn't mean you can let go of the priority of it. And a lot of people get lazy, for lack of a better word, like, oh, okay, yeah, we're here, we're good. And they just, they forget the significance of the relationship and how important it is to connect with each other.
Absolutely. And this is something that I think that we are missing. Like, every romantic movie ends when they get together, when they find each other, when they get married, whatever. And then they're missing the part that, and what happens afterwards? How do you keep that in, like, the communication flowing and the fun and the love and everything together? So, yeah, absolutely. I can see that why this that's a big issue in so many cases. Because we think that when we get married, so then it's done. So we don't need to take any action towards that anymore, except for the kids or whatever the next step is.
And oftentimes it gets to that point of, like, it's kind of been considered not a priority. Each person is distracted in their jobs or whatever else is going on, TV or gadgets or whatever. And when you lose sight of that and so much time goes by, then it's hard to come back. Not that it's not possible, because it is, but the longer that disconnect goes by, the more internal resentment is being felt and that lack of connection and really that lack of commitment. I mean, it's a commitment. And so it doesn't have to be hard work by any means, but it needs to be a priority. It needs to be recognized and focused on as a priority, something that you are giving attention to on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. That's true. When we are thinking about that, we find ourselves in a situation where we realize that this isn't really working. So for me, I'm the people pleaser, the taking all the responsibility for everybody, making like the for taking responsibility to make everybody else happy. So what would be the best thing for a woman, maybe just like me, that we could do to empower ourselves when we are feeling overwhelmed by the struggles in our relationships?
Right. I love that you asked that question, and I love how you prefaced it, because that is exactly what so many women do. They feel responsible for everybody else. They make everybody else the priority first, and they put everybody else's needs ahead of theirs. And then therefore they start to feel somewhat depleted, and it comes from a place of love. So it's not nothing to feel bad about per se, but when you're constantly making everybody else the priority and you're never checking in with yourself and asking for what you need, then you get depleted, and that resentment will build, even though you know that you feel like you're being a good wife or mother. Yeah. There's still that you need to be attended to too. You have a significance and value and priorities as well. So the most important thing, to answer your question, the most important thing I think a woman can do is start to focus on her relationship with herself. And I'm not saying stop making the other things a priority, your marriage and or your kids and or your job. Yes, they're all still priorities. They are part of your life and responsibility. However, really make it a priority to include yourself in there as well, either alone time or time doing something that you really enjoy doing, spending time in nature or reading inspirational stories that fill you up or journaling, but really tuning into yourself. I think journaling is a really beautiful way for a woman to have a relationship with herself, to be able to express what's going on, to express some of her feelings that she may be not giving a priority to because I got too much to do, I don't have time to feel this. And so really the short version of the answer to that question is to make her relationship with herself a priority instead of always focusing on everybody else being the priority. And when we feel responsible for others, but we don't take responsibility for our life, that's where a lot of that internal conflict starts showing up and that resentment and when am I going to matter? But we need to make ourselves a priority.
Absolutely. And as you said, that we tend to put everybody else's needs before our own. This is really something that I am on my journey to learn how to put myself first every now and then. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this. So what are your tips or the basic steps how to move more into this empowered direction?
Yeah, so I think, this term is overused, but everybody gets it. It's the whole put the oxygen mask on yourself first reference where you get on the plane. If you have a child with you and you need the oxygen, make sure you put the mask on yourself first, and then you can help your child. Yeah. It's the same concept and same. I also would like to use the analogy of if you let your tank go empty and you're running on fumes, then you're going to slow way, way, way down. So we need to fill our tanks. We need to focus on things that bring us joy in our lives while also taking care of the responsibilities that really we are choosing to have those commitments and those priorities in our life. And you're choosing to support your husband and take care of your kids and all that. However, really making it a priority, actually scheduling, if that's what you need to do. Some women actually need to schedule, put an appointment in for themselves on their calendar so that they have quote-unquote allowed time for them to go on a walk or to read something that they enjoy or to spend time with a friend that you just feel completely free with, that you can just be yourself and not have to worry about anybody else for a while. Really, that's it. It's like allow yourself to receive support, allow yourself to receive things that you enjoy in your life and that you feel connected with, because when you feel a disconnect with yourself, and this is one of the most important things that I will say over and over and over again, when you feel a disconnect with yourself, you are naturally going to feel a disconnect with others because you do feel depleted, you do feel insignificant, not understood, undervalued, however you want to look at it. But it's not the responsibility of others to make you feel that way. Absolutely, we need people in our lives to support us and help us feel loved and appreciated, but it's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility to feel loved and appreciated. So it's really important to make your friendship with yourself as you would a really good friend. It's so amazing to me how many women, we cut ourselves down, we beat ourselves up, but when a friend comes to us with the same issues, we will sit with her, we will cry with her, we will hold her hand and, you know, be gentle with her, but we won't do it with ourselves.
True, we are our worst enemies in many cases. I wanted to point out one thing that you said earlier about the it's being a choice, like that we are taking care of others, so we have made the decision. And in that, somehow I want to point out that we don't want to make ourselves victims, like, but I am always giving and giving and giving and nobody's giving me anything back. But to take the ownership, I made the decision to give to my kids, to give to my husband, and to give my friends. And now I make the decision to give myself. So,
Yeah, very good point, Laura. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely. Because it's true. I mean, and sometimes people don't realize how much work it's going to be in a committed marriage and or to have kids. And so, but you did make that choice. That's something that you wanted in your life. It's something that you really craved and desired. And you brought it into your life. And then now you get to follow through with your commitment to it, however you handle it. So yeah, that's a very good point. And instead of getting to that point of like, oh, you know, I never get time for myself. And that can be a very easy pattern to fall into and then become a victim to it. But patterns can always be changed. That's the beautiful thing about all of this too, is that, and one of the things I really like about, I didn't always like this, but what I see now is that when we have the struggles in our relationships like this, it's such a perfect opportunity to step back and go, okay, how am I contributing to this? What pattern am I involved in here that I could change to make this better? Because that's really what it's all about. It's our thoughts, it's our behaviors, it's our patterns that contribute to the quality of our whole entire life and specifically our relationships. And so when something's not working, to be able to step back and look at it, what's your part in it, instead of blaming the other person and constantly saying, if they just did that, then I would be okay. That's giving your power away. What can you do to say, all right, what am I doing in this situation? What could I potentially change? And then just start to make little shifts. I mean, you can't just break a habit or break a pattern in one day by acknowledging it and saying, okay, that's gone. But you can start to be more aware of what's not working and then shift. You catch yourself in it and go, up, up, up. That's not really what I want to be doing anymore. What can I do differently this time? And then you just start to shift into new patterns. It's very, very powerful, but it absolutely takes that awareness and that willingness and consistency to change it. But it's so, so possible, and it's so empowering and life-enhancing. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree with that, because that's, well, first of all, I encourage everybody who is between relationships to take the time and look back and learn from the previous ones. And something that I really went through when in between my two true loves. So I really learned that I was very passive aggressive. When I was upset, I didn't tell to my partner that I was upset, but I waited and waited and waited that he would notice it, and rarely he did.
Right.
So this is something that I really have learned, and now I'm actively changing. I'm not always successful, but more often. So yes, it's possible to learn new tricks.
It is. It's beautiful. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, when you do catch yourself, so maybe you're not always successful, but when you are and you do catch yourself, how does that feel in that moment where you're like, oh yeah, I do get to change that?
I feel very in my own power. Like, yes, I manage again, and I got such a good response, because every time that when I gather my upset and bring it forward to my true love Marcus nowadays, so the response that I get is like, sorry love, I didn't mean that, or I didn't think that you would take it that way. So it's the communication channel stays open, so that's the most important thing.
It is the most important thing, and it always fascinates me, and I've done this before myself too, that communication barrier or that communication channel does break down over time, mm-hmm. and we stop communicating because we're frustrated or we're resentful mm-hmm. or we're hurt, and so we don't know how to express our feelings in a loving way because we're so frustrated, or we do express our feelings, but it comes from a place of frustration and upset, mm-hmm. and I wish you would stop doing this, and rarely yeah. does that get the conversation to a healthy place. And so, I think communication is such a huge, huge part of it, and that's a big part mm-hmm. of what I do teach my clients, is to be able to communicate from a more loving place and to be able to communicate mm-hmm. from a place of taking responsibility for your feelings, just like you're saying. You come to your love and you say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's going on, and they say, oh, I didn't even realize you were feeling that way, and they apologize and acknowledge, and then chances are you feel better about it, and hopefully they don't do that thing again in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully yeah. they are appreciating us enough so that they would try to minimize those accidents so in the future.
Right.
Okay. Now that we are speaking about emotions, mostly from the negative side and how to avoid those, but what do you think about how the emotions, what kind of role they have when they are, you know, that you are saying that they guide us in the right direction? So
Yes.
In what way?
Absolutely. So if you think about, so when you first fall in love with somebody, all the emotions typically are very, very good. You are just on fire and you are just feeling so good and so elated and connected. And this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And there's so much love and joy in your life. And so all those emotions, and it feels right. So it's like, you feel like, oh, this is so good. And you're so attracted to it because it feels so right. And then you engage in the relationship for quite a while. And then some of that, you know, initial excitement starts to wear off a little bit. And like we said, you kind of fall into some patterns maybe. And then maybe some turmoil starts coming up and you feel like you're not being acknowledged or you're not being appreciated or whatever it may be. And so then these feelings of hurt come up. And when we don't pay attention to those feelings, so many women, men too, but more so women, have been kind of conditioned that you're being overly sensitive. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh, quit dramatizing about this stuff. And so we've been kind of subconsciously conditioned to stuff our feelings down and try to just deal with it, just buck up and deal mm-hmm. with it. And so when you do that, you are literally dismissing your feelings. You are literally mm-hmm. abandoning a part of yourself. For any women who have abandonment issues, this is a really key thing to tune into. It was huge when I learned it, that when we dismiss our own feelings or when we make commitments to ourselves and we don't follow through, we are literally abandoning ourselves. And so, mm-hmm. of course, and then that makes it hurt even more. And then we want even more from our partner because we're hurting so bad, we want them to fix it for us. But getting back to the specific role of emotions is that when you're not feeling good about something, your emotions are telling you, okay, something's off here. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to run and run out of the situation per se, but something's amiss. Like, okay, my emotions are saying this is bad. I'm out of here. It's not about that. Yeah. It's about, okay, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I being triggered? And not that you have to go back and uncover all your childhood wounds or anything like that, but it's helpful to be aware that most of us do carry forward our childhood wounds. If they haven't been healed and resolved, most of us do carry those forward into our relationships and especially our romantic relationships. And so looking at those feelings and those emotions as a teacher, like, why am I feeling this way? What can I do differently about it? Why am I feeling hurt? How can I love myself more? Most of the time, what we are seeking from our partner, I really just wish you would appreciate me more. That 9 times out of 10, that means we need to appreciate ourselves more. Or I really wish that you would listen to me. You're not listening to my feelings. You just dismiss them all the time. Well, 9 times out of 10, that means we're probably dismissing our own feelings too. And so, right? And I could go on and on and on about this, but literally, I mean, and I did, I was a cardiovascular technologist. It was a short period of time, but I literally learned so much about the physiology of the heart and the emotions, and that contributes to heart disease too. It's not just the food we eat or the genes or anything like that, but that's what I did my paper on. And so I ended up just being so incredibly fascinated with how negative emotions affect us physiologically versus how positive emotions affect us physiologically. And then also in the work that I do through relationship coaching, connecting those feelings, your head and your heart together, because so often your head is saying one thing, but your heart is saying another, and that's where all that confusion comes from. Like, I should be doing this, but your heart's saying, I really don't want to, or the other way around. Yeah.
Exactly. I really want to ask, because I had just a guest on the show who was also very, her title was relationship researcher. So I really would want to hear if you could briefly tell us more about how those positive and negative emotions show up in our physiology.
So physiologically, yes, thank you for asking. So fascinating. So physiologically, when you are feeling a negative emotion such as anger or frustration or resentment or whatever it may be, your mind responds to that. Your body feels it. Most of us will constrict. We'll start to kind of clench our fists, or we'll clench our teeth, or our face will tighten. Our body will constrict in kind of this protection mode, because we're upset and we're hurt and we're angry. And so physiologically, your brain responds to that. It starts sending all these signals to your brain, and your brain starts releasing all of these stress hormones. It's literally saying, okay, this is what you're telling me, so I'm going to start releasing all these hormones. And then that just kind of fuels the fire almost. And stress hormones are like such a huge, huge contributor to disease. And so many of us are living in stressful situations. I mean, the fight or flight response is awesome if you're literally running from a tiger. They always use that example. Like, if you're literally running from a tiger, then absolutely you need the fight or flight response and the stress needs to engage. However, when we're stressed out on a day-to-day basis and those same hormones are being triggered all the time because we're fighting in our relationships or we hate our jobs or whatever it may be, your body is being having to work so much harder than it needs to. And it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel depleted. It contributes to disease. And so what it does, in short version of it, is those negative emotions trigger the brain to release certain hormones, mostly stress hormones and things like that. Versus on the flip side of that, when you're feeling joy, when you're feeling appreciation for nature or your child or your dog or your lover, whoever it may be, whatever it may be, when you're feeling that love and joy and appreciation, the brain gets all these signals to release all of these I can't remember the specific hormone, but it's a good feeling hormone, and it starts releasing all of that in your body. And then you want to expand. You actually want to open up your body instead of constricting it and protecting it. You're just like, I feel so good. And you want to stretch and you want to breathe deeper and you want to smile more. When they say laughter is the best medicine. Literally, it does. It releases certain hormones in your body physiologically that fuel the health of your body. Our bodies are designed to thrive, and they have the capacity to do that. But we certainly influence how they thrive based on our thoughts, based on our feelings, based on the way we feed them and move them. And we are so instrumental in the way our bodies operate. But if you think about this 60 trillion plus cells, literally 60 trillion plus cells that are circulating throughout your body and have this intelligence that tells them what to do. Your heart's beating on its own. Your breath is breathing on its own. Your food's digesting. We're not doing that. We're not thinking about that. It's just happening. And so it's this, I like to call this perfect intelligence. Like, you literally have this perfect intelligence within you that you are working with based on your thoughts, based on your feelings. That's all free will of our choices and our thoughts. And so it's this beautiful kind of relationship and partnership that you have with this perfect intelligence and the way that you approach your life.
Thank you. This is, it's just so amazing that we don't realize how much our thoughts and the our thoughts affect our emotions, and that way there's how they affect our body. So it's a really something that comes back to that you can really see the effects that our thoughts have into our lives.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to express those feelings, especially the ones of frustration and anger, the ones we want to stuff down. Then they get kind of stored in your body, and then you start to develop all this tension and arthritis, and I can barely move, and I'm so tired because you're kind of storing this pent-up frustration in your body. So we need to learn how to express our anger in a healthy way. We don't want to direct our anger at somebody else, but if we can do it in a healthy way by beating the pillow on our bed or screaming in our car when we're by ourselves or whatever we need to do, it kind of releases. It just releases that pent-up energy, and then we can come from a place of a little more peace, at least, where, like, when we do need to say something, we're not coming from this place of enraged, you know, I'm so upset about this with your fist clenched, versus, all right, now that I've had some time to think about this, you know, it really upset me earlier and I was feeling this way, and I'm wondering if we can talk about this and see how we can address this so it doesn't happen again, something to that effect.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. For the listeners, so if you want to learn more about Catherine when you are resonating about what she is sharing with us, so her website is healthypathtolove.com. And she is also sharing with us a free gift, 8 Days of Inspired Action Challenge, gaining clarity and confidence about whether to stay or go in your romantic relationships. And if you want to call into the show and participate, you can do that from the U.S. by calling to number 646-716-7979. And if you want to comment or ask a question, press 1. And from outside the U.S., please join sending me a message in Facebook. And, yeah, Catherine, would you want to share a little bit more about the challenge that you are giving us access to?
Yes, thank you for saying that. So, yes, the website, as you mentioned, is Healthy Path, like a path that you take, Healthy Path to Love. And actually, if the link in the Facebook thing doesn't work very well, on my website, right on the top banner, there's an option for opting in for that 8 days as well. And so what it is it's just it's an email that you receive in your inbox each day, and it has a specific step that was actually taken from the program that I created for the 8 steps to know, should I stay or should I go? And it leads you through these different questions and exercises and ideas about the different struggles that you have in your relationship, getting really clear on why you're in this relationship and what you need from it in order for you to feel good in it. That's one of the steps. And then another day is talks about your patterns and looking back at some of the common patterns that you have in your relationship and being able to empower yourself from learning from those patterns. You've already learned from these patterns the hard way, so let's use them to actually do something good with them. And then another step is about getting in touch with those feelings, like we were just talking about. A lot of women don't necessarily know how to get in touch with their feelings, so it leads you through some exercises that you can do to really tune in to the parts of your body that are speaking up when you have these feelings and what they're trying to tell you. And another day is about learning to trust yourself. And so each day is just it's a pretty short email, and it gives you an inspired action and some insights and even some references to different blogs that I've written about it that just really starts helping you open up your mind to some new ideas and some new perspectives. I think when we're really stressed out and we're confused about what to do, we just kind of start going in circles. I call it the spin cycle of frustration, because you just keep on going in circles. I'm so tired of this. I mean, I remember doing this in my relationship. Like, I'm so tired of this. I just want it to be over in terms of the stress and confusion. But once we can start to see things a little differently and empower ourselves to actually take little steps, even if they're little steps in a different direction, you'll start to feel better. You'll start to have kind of a renewed sense, excuse me, a renewed sense of strength, and you won't feel so confused. So that's what the 8 days of inspired action is all about, just with some tips each day that you receive in your inbox. And you can go through them as slowly or as quickly as you'd like, but I try not to give too much in each one because it can seem a little overwhelming. So it's been very, very helpful for a lot of women. I've had a lot of women reach out and say, wow, this was extremely helpful. And some of them have signed up for the coaching, but even if they haven't, the exercise itself has been really empowering.
That's so beautiful. And I really love those steps because, yeah, as we have already spoken, how important it is to take all those things in consideration. And the thing that I wanted to mention about the emotions and what you so beautifully covered in this challenge is that we aren't really taught how to listen to our emotions. We just, we have this weird feeling and we don't like it, but we don't know what it is and what we should do about it. So, it's not easy to...
Right.
To be in this world when the technology is the ruling force and everything else is put down in and under the carpet or wherever they we can hide them. So,
absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do have feelings where there's so many different species on Earth and we're one of the very few that actually have feelings the way that we do. Mm-hmm. So they're there for a reason. They're not just there for no reason. They're there to guide us. And when we ignore them and we don't pay attention to them, and we only like the good feeling thoughts, like, oh, this is so great, and we like those. But then when it comes to the bad feelings, we just want to throw those down and, like you say, sweep them under the carpet. We're really doing ourselves a disservice. We're ignoring that part of us that is so instrumental in the quality of our life.
Absolutely. You have already shared so much about all the goodness that you are sharing with your clients, but is there some other top advantages if people would want to work with you and dig deeper on this topic?
Yeah, dig deeper. That's right there is one of the advantages for sure. So, yes. Like I've mentioned a couple times, I have this 8-module program, and that does go much more extensively into those steps that I was just mentioning. But even if you don't do the program and you're just coaching with me, most, like 99% of my clients have walked away from working with me with this very empowered sense of, like, now I know how to handle this stuff. Now I have way more peace of mind to focus on herself instead of what the other person is doing. And a lot of people ask, why do you only work with a woman? How come you don't work with a couple? And the reason why I do that, I'll just kind of interject this real quickly, is most of the time when a woman has gotten to the point of questioning, should I stay or should I go, or am I with the right partner? Most of the time when that happens, she's lost sense with herself. She's lost touch with herself. So to me, it's all about getting back in touch with herself first, so that if you're not being honest with yourself, then how could you possibly be honest with your partner? And if you're not being respectful with yourself, then how could you possibly expect respect from your partner, right? So it's about leading her back to her relationship with herself, and then she can come to the table with a much more clear mind on what she needs and the ability to ask for it. So women walk away with that ability to feel more empowered, to have that structure and that guidance and that accountability. I mean, the beautiful thing about coaching, and I've been coached myself a few times over the years too, as you know, the beautiful thing about coaching is accountability. When we have somebody to work with and who's giving us things to do, and we quote unquote kind of need to report to them, there's something about being accountable to somebody else that really kind of fuels our desire to do it even more. So there's that. And one woman, really one of the ladies that I worked with who did a testimonial, I loved how she said it, that, you know, not only did the calls help me, but they helped me walk away from the calls knowing that I could help myself. And I loved the way that she worded that, because it's not just about me telling you everything that you should and shouldn't do and actually answering the question for you. It's me leading you through the process of allowing you to see your own answers. It's like we already know our own answers, but we get in the way with all of our confusion and our stress and our frustration. So, emotional intelligence is improved. The ability to communicate better is improved. There's so many things that come from working on these modules and this coaching. Are you still there, Laura? Hello? I can keep on talking. I don't know if you can hear me or not. My phone call says it's still going, but so to keep on answering your question, just in terms of they have the tools to apply in certain situations, they recognize their role and the patterns they're involved in. A lot of women end up becoming much more aware of those old childhood wounds that we carry forward, like I talked about a little bit earlier, that we don't even necessarily know that we're doing that. And so when we start tapping into that, it's like, oh, gosh, I didn't even realize that I was doing that. And now they can do something about it. It's awareness. There's so much awareness and empowerment that comes from working with me. Are you there, Laura? I'm not sure how long to keep on talking. And I'm not sure if you're still hearing me or not. I am still here. I'm not sure if I should disconnect and call you back or keep on talking to myself. So I know I'll just keep on talking until Laura comes back on the line. Hopefully that'll happen soon. I'm hoping that everybody can hear me still. Some of the other things that we were going to talk about were what I call the ABCs of starting to move in a different direction from where you are now. If you're in a relationship that you don't feel good and you're feeling frustrated, and are you there? Thought I heard her there for a second. And you're just not knowing what to do. I'm here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be in a different place. I'm struggling. I'm confused. Laura, are you there? I'm hearing little bits and pieces there. Okay, so the ABCs, three steps that you can take to start moving in a more empowered direction is the first step I call the A is about awareness. And awareness is really key before we can do anything about it. And so to see where you are.
Number one.
Hello?
You can make a comment if you want, or you can just not.
Okay.
I usually say things like, you know, I really like what you guys are talking about, and this is how I see it in my life, and this is really great work that you guys are doing. So if you want to.
I'm hearing some background noise, but I'm not actually hearing Laura.
Hello?
Hello, Laura?
Actually, my name is Robin, but I'm not sure if you're talking to me.
I don't know if I am talking to you, but Laura, the host of the call, got disconnected. Are you calling into the radio show?
Yes.
Okay, and did you have a specific...
That we are hearing you, and what you're saying is good.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm working with a friend of mine. We're cleaning houses for people, and I always like to listen to Laura's show. Her guests are always awesome, and I've really been enjoying your conversation. My friend Lisa here has she's been through some pretty rough things. We're both in good relationships, but even taking what you're saying and applying it to the rest of
Yes.
Really powerful.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for saying that. And thank you for calling in, because you're absolutely right. All of these things that I talk about and teach people about, you can apply them in any area of your life, not just your romantic relationship, but your job or your health or anything. So thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And what you were saying earlier about the fight or flight, I have realized in my life that indecision is one of the most stressful things that I experience. When I don't know what to do, and just taking action, your flight or fight system wants you to move your body. It takes some sort of action.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that too, because indecision, that uncertainty is a stress inducer for so many of us, that we want, our minds want to feel safe. Our minds want to know what to expect and what's going to happen and how long is it going to take and how are you going to do it? And when we don't know that, our minds just start to go crazy and it just starts to do all this mind chatter. What about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? Yeah, and it gets carried away, and so you're in. When you're right, moving is, even if you don't know what you're going to do yet, just moving, cleaning the house, or going on a walk, or anything absolutely helps kind of move that energy through. So thank you very much for sharing that. These are some really good examples.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I need to keep moving, but I want to tell that listeners are listening. They are hearing what you're saying, so.
Okay.
I'm gonna leave the show on. My friend's gonna listen, but I have to go vacuum some floors, so I won't be able to hear. But good job, keep it going.
Thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate that, knowing that everybody is listening too and being able to hear me. So I will keep on talking until Laura jumps back on. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rafine.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We needed to experience this as well. So thank you so much for, Robin, keeping Catherine occupied until I could come back.
That was hilarious. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just keep on talking. The phone was still connected. So I was like, okay, I'll just keep on talking. So I loved that she called in. That's beautiful.
Excellent. Yes. And
all right. Nice to talk to you, Laura. I'm going to go get back to work.
Good.
I'm going to leave the show on. My friend Lisa is listening. You want to say hi, Lisa?
Excellent.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa
has some friends that are dating, but they're kind of, so I'm going to forward her your contact information with Laura. And
awesome.
We'll see if anybody gets connected.
Some benefit from what you say. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies.
All right.
Love it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've heard all that. Yeah. She shared some really good examples too. And you know, even if we're not struggling in a romantic relationship, all these things that you and I are talking about are things that you can apply in any area of your life that you're feeling frustrated about. So I loved that she shared that.
Absolutely. Yes. Now that I'm back, trying to reorganize my mind after this incident, but deep breaths in between. One thing left from my point of view. So when we are in a situation like that, so how do you reclaim your power and stop the spin cycle of frustration that we already spoke about, that we are frustrated of being frustrated and then we are not telling about frustration, or we come from the place of frustration when we are trying to communicate what we are needing. So how to stop that?
Okay, so beautiful. And I actually just started talking about the ABC, so I'll kind of continue on with those because that ties in really nicely to your question. And then the woman that just called in, she was sharing, which made so much sense and ties into this nicely too, is that one of the biggest stress inducers for her is that feeling of uncertainty. And so that ties really nicely into what we're talking about here. When we're frustrated and we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do and we don't know how to communicate it, that's uncertainty, that's unknown. And the mind really wants to know, you know, I need to feel safe in this situation. What are we going to do? So again, kind of step back and looking at how you're playing the role in this. And so I'll just quickly walk through the ABCs. This is a really simple three-step process that you can do in any situation, but I'll apply it specifically about a romantic relationship. And the A is all about awareness. And so you're looking where you are now and you're looking where you want to be. And a really simple exercise or question to ask yourself would be, okay, what percentage of the time do you feel like your needs are being met in this relationship? And that might fluctuate day to day, but just generally speaking, what percentage of the time do you feel your needs are being met? You feel connected with your partner. You feel like you're good in this relationship. And so you look at that percentage, and then you look at what percentage would I like it to be? And most people would say 100%, but most of us recognize that it's not going to be 100% of the time. So let's just say 90% of the time, if I'm feeling connected, or 80% of the time, whatever works well for you. But you have those where I am now and where I want to be. And then you look at that and you kind of see the gap in between those. And that's awareness. That's just a really simple question and exercise. There's so many different things you can ask in that. But you look at that and go, okay, I'm at 20%. I'd rather be at 80. That's a 60% difference. That at least it's something tangible to start working toward. I see this gap and I want to start closing that gap. So what can I do to close that gap? And that goes to the next step of the B in the ABCs is about bravery. And bravery is about being able to look at what is the biggest challenge in your relationship? What do you think is holding you back from not feeling connected with your partner or not feeling heard? And so most of us, a lot of us are going to end up saying communication or I'm not valued or appreciated, whatever that may be, whatever your biggest obstacle is, identify that. Be brave about writing that down. And if you have more than one, absolutely feel free to write that down, but at least one thing that you know is a big roadblock. So you write that down, and then you go to the next step. And again, that's a tangible thing. Our minds want to have this tangible piece of information that we can do something with. And then you go to the next step, which is the C, and that's about making a conscious choice. So you have this awareness, you've been brave about what needs to change, and now you get to make a conscious choice about what you're going to do with it. And if it is, say, let's say communication is the biggest barrier, then maybe your conscious choice is to read a book about communication or to, you know, at least Google some stuff on it. Your heart has the answer. Google doesn't have all the answers, but it is good to get some tools, to get some ideas, especially if you don't know where to start. Just start kind of researching for information or read some blogs or whatever you can do to start learning, to start feeling more empowered. Make a conscious choice to learn how to communicate better. And so that's what those ABCs are. And part of that C also is to stay committed to that conscious choice. If you're going to make a choice to do something about it and then you don't do it, you're going to go right back to the cycle of beating yourself up. And, oh, I said I was going to do that. Now I didn't. I'm such a loser. And, you know, all that stuff, that negative self-talk. And so, again, stay committed. And the good idea with making a small step is that you can commit to that. If you make a commitment to, you know, read a book in 2 days and you can't stay true to it, then that's not going to be so good. So make a commitment that you can actually follow through on. And then that will lead you. That'll start opening up some space for you. That will start relieving all of that mind chatter. And then you'll just kind of naturally be guided into what the next best step is. And the next best step, you don't have to figure everything out to get started. Just take that first step. So many of us want to figure everything out before we take the first step because we don't know how it's going to happen. But if you just have the courage to just take that first step, I know, right? We all do this, especially, you know, romantic relationship is such a huge part of our life. And when it's not going right, we do feel really vulnerable and it feels scary and we feel insecure and unsafe. And so I get it. I get why we don't want to do anything that we don't feel sure about. But if you want things to change, then you have to change something in it. You have to change your approach somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. I truly resonate with the fact that when we don't know what's coming and what's happening, so it does take bravery and courage to take the next step and to be willing to change something. Of course, sometimes we are in a situation where anything else is better than this. Even in those situations, because this thing we already know, no matter how bad it is, but we know it. But what's happening outside of that situation, we don't know. And that can be that scary that we are never going to take that step. And that's why I love that you are here on this planet to help people get that courage to make that next step. And would it be just learning about to communicate better and make the situation better? So that could be enough. But,
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. That whole feeling of familiarity thing, so many of us revert to that, even if we're not happy with our current circumstances. Mm-hmm. they're familiar. We know what to expect, and so therefore we feel a little bit safer. We're jumping into the unknown, we don't. But the thing about that is, if you can learn how to trust yourself, if you can learn how to tap into your feelings and your emotional intelligence and your relationship with yourself, you will not feel so scared to jump into the unknown. You'll be able to take those leaps of faith, as they say, because you'll trust it more. You'll just know, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, I'm going to be okay. But if you don't trust yourself and you don't trust the process of life, it is so much more difficult to take those steps into the unknown, and you'll stay stuck. You'll stay stuck in those places where you don't really want to be due to that fear.
Absolutely. And now that I can't, something triggered me to go back to the thoughts that I got before I lost the connection about the fact that when something, yeah, but you were talking about the, why you aren't coaching couples, that
right.
The fact that it's always like the inner game. If we aren't, yeah, you mentioned that if we aren't respected or appreciated, so how it's mostly about ourselves. So I really get that it, you can change your whole life just by changing yourself and how you are being in the world. So it doesn't need to include your partner or your kids or your friends to make a positive change in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is so empowering. It's scary if you're not used to it, but all you need to do is get used to it. And if you think about the fact that if you're just giving your power to somebody else to create your quality of life for you, if you're letting somebody else drive in the driver's seat of your life, then you're giving that control and that power over to somebody else. But you get to be in the driver's seat. You get to dictate the choices that you make. And yes, you're in a relationship with somebody else, and absolutely it's a partnership and it takes two, but you can't change that other person. You can't change their behavior. So you can change whatever's not working for you within you, and then you can communicate about that with the other person, and hopefully they will change with you. And if they don't, then at least you know you've done everything that you can within your power. That's another thing too, is so many women feel like, I know I can't leave because I don't feel like I've done everything I can, but I don't know what to do. And so when you get to that place I've done everything I can, and I just know in my heart of hearts that this isn't going to work, then you can gracefully let go instead of feeling guilty and wrong and, you know, all that stuff that people put labels on us for.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, that it can be scary when we are thinking that we can change everything just by changing ourselves. But I want to bring it back to, like, depends on how you react. When you change how you react on certain things, the things that your partner or kids say to you or do, so then they are changing their behavior when you are coming from a more loving and accepting place towards them. So it's easier for them to respond to you in a similar way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we're attacking people and saying, you're doing this and this makes me feel this way, and when you're blaming them for the way you feel, not only are they feeling attacked and are not going to respond well to it, but again, you're giving your power away. You're basically saying, you're making me feel this way. And they don't have that power over you unless you give it to them.
Exactly. Yeah. So women, claim your power back.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we are coming to an end for this lovely conversation. Thank you, Catherine, for tuning in. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your wisdom. It was, I learned a lot. So it's always a pleasure to have you guys joining me on this show.
Thank you. And thank you for offering this platform for people being able to tune into. You know, the woman that called in, she said they listen to you on a regular basis while they're cleaning houses and things like that. And that's beautiful. People can tune in to while they're driving or whatever they're doing. So thank you for providing this platform and for bringing people in to talk about different things that different people may resonate with. I really appreciate that you're offering this.
Yeah, Thank you. It's important for me to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
It's appreciated. Thank you so much. Absolutely. And for the listeners, when you are resonating with what we have been sharing with Catherine, so just jump on her website, healthypathtolove.com, and take the challenge to gain clarity and confidence. Question: to stay or to go?
Yes, that is the question.
Exactly. So thank you, Catherine, again. And for everybody else, we are going to be here again in 2 weeks. So stay tuned and have a lovely day.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I can reach any goal today. I can do